Today, we're going to be talking about the Candywoman legend. And we're not just going to talk about the lore itself. We're also going to dig into the facts within the lore to see if there's any truth behind it.
Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Today we're going to be talking about an urban legend, and it's the Candy Woman or the Candy Lady. I've seen her described as both, but we're going to call her the Candy Woman.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I feel like the Candy Lady just, it has a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't think I like it as much. But this is another one where we've actually had it on our list for quite a while. And for the amount of research that we've done, I feel like this is going to be a shorter episode. But I do think it's very interesting. So we're just going to get right into the Candy Woman legend. So legend has it that Clara Crane, who was born in 1871 in Terrell, Texas, graduated from high school, and then she married an older man named Leonard Gilbert Crane. Some sources say that he was at least 20 years older than her. He was a farmer when they met, and they had a farm together, and that's where they worked and lived. They had a daughter named Marcella, who was born in 1893. And as all parents should be, Clara was all about her daughter. Marcella was the light of her life. So one day, Clara left Marcella with Leonard while she went into town, as you should be able to do. Leonard was working on the farm and kind of keeping like an eye out on Marcella. He was aware of what she was doing, but he was doing work.
Yeah.
But that's not all he was doing. He was also drinking from his flask throughout the day. And so as he drank more, he got more and more inebriated and he kind of just lost track of Marcella and what she was doing. So during this time, Marcella ends up falling down a hill and she died as a result of the injuries from that fall. And she was just 5 years old.
That's so sad.
It's so sad. It's so sad. And quite reasonably, Clara immediately blamed Leonard for Marcella's death because not only was he in charge and watching her, but he was drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
He wasn't watching his kid. She's outside playing on a farm. She could easily get hurt with a number of items, not even including like the terrain itself.
Yeah, that's fair, especially where they lived. And like for old school Texas, too, mm-hmm. I just feel like in that sort of climate and land, like you would have to keep an eye on the children.
Yeah.
I mean, really anywhere, but like Texas, you know, very open.
Yeah. Especially like 1800s farm.
Yeah.
It's full of sharp objects and rust.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's just, it's like a rust farm. That's what they grow is sharp objects and rust.
Obviously. Clearly.
Yeah.
So obviously, like horrific, tragic accident happened.
Mm-hmm.
He had been drinking. And of course, Clara's pretty pissed off, like rightfully so. She left
mm-hmm.
the father in charge. You would think it would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 2 years after Marcella's death, Clara murders Leonard. Interesting note about Leonard. Mm-hmm. His favorite candy was caramels. So she made him some caramels and added some kind of poison to them. And then he died after eating them.
Interesting.
Thinking about how she got her name here, right? So accounts don't say how long it was after or what symptoms he had before his death, just that he died of some kind of poison.
Yeah. Which I think is interesting because I feel like a lot of things from that time period, it's like arsenic is like the first thing you hear. So I thought it was interesting that like we didn't see a lot of that in our research, was that like specifically calling out arsenic or saying how they decided it was poison.
Right. Or everlasting faint.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an old one.
It is. So the day after Clara murdered Leonard, their neighbor noticed that Clara was acting very strangely. Specifically, they noted that she was acting, quote, shaken and in a frenzied state. Which, okay, like, now you've lost two of your family members.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, you're kind of to blame for the last one, but, like, still, I get it. Now, they called the county sheriff, Fred Springer, and when Fred got to the Crane farm, Clara was aggressive to the sheriff, so then she was arrested.
And from here, it gets even a little bit more murky. It's unclear how law enforcement found out what happened to Leonard. Was his body found? Did Clara confess? Something else? We don't know. But we do know that per the legend, she was charged with first-degree murder. And as an interesting note, some sources say that she was tried in Ellis County, but Terrell is in Kaufman County, Texas.
Interesting.
Reports differ on Clara's account of the time of the murder. Some say that she confessed to the murder itself while she was in custody. Other sources say that she claims that she was unconscious. I don't know what the fuck that means. If I said, what were you doing at the time of the murder? And you responded, I was unconscious. I feel like I would have more questions. I would have follow-up.
I was unconscious.
I was unconscious. Like, were you also drugged? Are you bizarre and that's how you describe sleep? Others? Like, other options?
I'm going to go be unconscious now.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to text you when I go to bed.
Yeah.
When you're waking up.
Rather than, like, dissociating, I'm just going to go full unconscious. Like, I just need a little bit of unconscious time.
I need that all the time.
Anyway, Clara was unconscious, apparently, when she made the caramels with poison and fed them to her husband.
Can that be a sticker? Just two Benadryls and just put unconscious.
It says, it's my unconscious time. Goodbye.
I'm going to listen to True Creeps and go unconscious.
The horrors persist, but I'm unconscious and it's just a bottle of Benadryl. Okay, so I wrote this in the outline and I was just very like tickled with myself. And I had added, there's a clip of a newspaper article with dubious origins floating around when you search this urban legend. It does not look like it's from the 1800s. Let's start there. I feel like the oldest this could be, max old.
Okay, max old.
Is 1900s, like 1990. There's no way this is older than 1990.
Yeah, unless someone is like really good at fixing old articles. Perhaps.
But it's on really smooth paper, which sounds really strange, but it looks typed. Like it looks.
They photoshopped the old article to make it look newer.
Yeah, clearly. That's what people do with all their time. Also, it's a typewriter font, and I just feel like that's a more modern thing.
Maybe. Yeah, it looks too nice.
Yes. Yes.
Because there's some articles from like 1970 that look shittier than that, you know?
Yes. Agreed. Agreed. It also just doesn't feel like sound like it's from the 1800s. I don't know what I think that would sound like, but I just the vibe doesn't.
It didn't say she had an everlasting faint.
It did not. Right. So it's titled Wife Poisoned Husband with Candy. Clara Crane, 28 years old, was arraigned in the Haddock County Street Courthouse Wednesday morning. Mrs. Crane is suspected by Ellis County Sheriffs of murdering her husband, Leonard Gilbert Crane, 41 years old, by poisoning on Friday. The sheriffs allege that the Crane woman possessed poisoned caramels that were then consumed by her husband. The day after his death, a neighbor had come by the Crane house and found Mrs. Crane attempting to build a large fire next to their house in a, quote, shaken and frenzied state.
Okay, Chad Daybell.
Yeah, Chad Daybell vibes, right? When Sheriff Deputy Fred Springer arrived at the residence, Mrs. Crane became physically aggressive and was restrained and taken into custody. The sheriff's department would not comment on the possibility that Mrs. Crane might have had the intention of burning down the residence. The Cranes have resided for 9 years in Flint Crossing, a small farming community of West Ellis County. 2 years ago, they suffered the death of their only daughter, 5-year-old Marcella Crane. The incident was deemed an accident by investigators with no suspicions of either of the Cranes' involvement. Mrs. Crane faces charges of murder in the first degree. She's facing a life sentence, though some close to the investigation have alleged that she might be suffering from mania. The possibility could mean leniency in sentencing or commitment to an asylum. Mrs. Crane will be kept at the Ellis County Prison Facility while she awaits trial, which will likely be scheduled for July. So we've got a lot of facts in there, right? A lot of facts is we've got a lot of places.
Yeah.
Some things that were in this that were not included anywhere else were Clara and Leonard's ages specifically.
Yes.
The fact that she was tried at the Haddock Street Courthouse in Ellis County. Mm-hmm. The fact that there was a fire that was there at the house and that she was being kept at the Ellis County Prison Facility.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems legit because it has dates, full names, ages, and places.
Mm-hmm. And it's typed. So people
and
are
it's
like,
a news article,
it's a fact. Kind of. Yeah. Yeah. Like it's. I think that the thing that makes it the least convincing to me is that it's not spaced like a news article, right? Like, think about, like, when you're looking at, like, an old-timey newspaper, the letters are thicker.
Yeah, and they vary, kind of, like, because mm-hmm. of the printing and the way that they
yes.
print.
Yes, it's not that precise, and it's everything's tighter because they're trying to fit as much as possible. This is, like, 1.5 spaced.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't, I mean, it's a clipping, so you don't see, like, the date and all of that fun mm-hmm. stuff. Attached to it, but still, yeah. Like, usually there's something else.
Exactly. So after this article, and some other sources, they say that rather than facing life in prison, Clara was committed to the North Texas Lunatic Asylum, which is now known as the Terrell State Hospital. Some retellings of Clara's story say that while she was at the asylum, she made a doll out of bedding and named it after her daughter, Marcella, and that she would often talk or sing to it.
That's so sad.
It's so sad, but it also does sound terrifying to see someone like singing to a doll.
Any doll.
Any doll. Any doll, any point.
Agreed. Agreed. So some sources have a letter that was purportedly from Clara to her sister, Aggie, that said, quote,
I am so sorry. A very intense tangent that I need to tell you right now.
Okay.
I am in possession of Mary the Cat's mother.
I saw that.
Who I have named Aggie.
Oh, I love it.
Agatha Long, Aggie Short. Very relevant to this moment.
Yes, absolutely. And you can see her on her Instagram. That was posted, last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhere in there?
She's on TikTok too now.
She is.
She's a TikTok girl.
She's famous. Okay. So Clara supposedly wrote this letter to her sister Aggie. Dearest Aggie, I am elated. I've been informed by Dr. Matthews that Marcy and I will be returning home in less than 3 weeks. As you can imagine, Marcy can barely contain her excitement.
Yikes.
If you heard a dog sigh, there's dogs behind me.
No, it was Marcella. Marcella the doll, unable to contain her excitement and heavy breathing.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, Marcy, short for Marcella.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Every night she asks, is tomorrow the day when we go home, Mother? Very soon I will be able to tell her, yes. Our stay here has been somewhat of a trial, though I have been grateful to the good doctor and his staff in their dedication to our treatment and recovery. Leonard's death has put us in such a severe state of melancholy that I feared we would never escape it. These past years have been more difficult than any in my life, and my dear Marcella, after all that she has had to endure, has become my strength, my flame of hope.
Mm.
I must be honest with you, sister. Upon our arrival here, I carried a hatred in my heart for Justice Saunders and Counselor McCarthy. But I have come to realize that perhaps they were men through whom the Lord's hand had been at work in placing us where we could grow beyond this tragedy. Though I did not know it at the time, those days being dark in my memory. Even as my pen writes these words, I can almost smell the cedars in our yard waiting for us to return. And Basil, no doubt, wagging his tail and jumping up when we enter the house. Makes me wonder what happened to Basil.
A dog named Basil.
That is the cutest thing ever.
I know.
Okay, so back to our letter. There are tangents in the back somewhere. Though I would be lying if I were to say that I have no trepidation about living once again in our house without Leonard. It will feel strange for us without his presence. But I cannot think about that at this point. Marcella needs me to be strong now, as Leonard in my life was strong for us both. And now with the strength of our friends and our prayers, I know we can return home and begin to rebuild after our tribulation. I expect to be busy in the coming weeks, preparing for our departure from here. So if you do not receive any writing, know that I will write you as soon as we get back home. Thank you for the undying support and strength that you have been so generous with since our arrival. Love always, your sister, Clara. Legend has it that Clara was released in 1899 because of overcrowding in the asylum. Then, just 4 years later, in 1903, children began finding candy left on their windowsills. After the children had been receiving this candy on their windowsill, they started to find notes written on candy labels that were signed Candy Lady. Some versions of the story include that the candy lady lured children to her home. All I think of is Hocus Pocus.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's what she did.
Also, if you're listening during spooky season and you're new to us, we do have a Hocus Pocus episode.
We do. We do.
Mm-hmm.
Other versions say that the candy wrappers included notes saying things like, come outside and play, which is not horrifying at all.
Mm-hmm.
The children didn't tell their parents about the candy or the notes because they didn't want their parents to keep them from eating the candy. Which I feel like accurate, like kids will hide candy.
Yeah, like that tracks. Yeah, yeah. But anywho, let's keep going with our legend. So between 1903 and 1913, 8 children disappeared. Some accounts are much more vague about the details and just include that some unspecified number of children went missing within a few years of 1903. It's an old-timey story. Okay. So once everyone found out about the candy being left on windowsills and children going missing, people automatically connected Clara with candy since she murdered her husband with caramels. It just seemed weird that, like, she would murder children, given that she was so grief-stricken over the loss of her child that she murdered someone. It just doesn't seem to track.
Yeah.
Or that she was taking children. That one I could see more because, like, she wants a child, But if she was aware, I don't know. It just doesn't, it don't track.
It doesn't track, though. Yeah, like, it doesn't seem like she had, like, a hatred for children.
Yeah.
Or anything. Like, it seemed like she really cared about
her
child.
Or she was, like, going to steal them. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I could see that, maybe. Like, you know, like, that's kind of a movie trope. Mm-hmm. Oh, I lost my kids, so I want someone else's. And
I'll take yours. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she would kill them, though.
Yeah. Maybe she'd be responsible for their disappearances, but I don't know. But anyway, so some other weird shit starts happening around this time. First off, a farmer finds tiny teeth in his field, and apparently they were so small that they could only have belonged to children.
Right. Animals do not have small teeth.
Yeah, animals don't have small teeth. Everyone knows that only children have small teeth. Now, what's a little bit stranger is that some sources include some other details about these tiny field teeth, like that they were rotted or that they had been in a candy wrapper.
Field teeth.
Amanda just lost it over tiny field teeth. And, like, the thing is before I said it, I knew it was going to get her. The tiny field teeth are always going to get you.
I just feel like in my head, I just think of someone, like, plowing their, like, field.
Like, oh, like, I imagine, like, tiny teeth, like, dancing in a field. Like, field okay. mice, but field teeth.
No, I just feel like a farmer's like, oh, there's so many damn teeth in this field.
God damn it, there's tiny, too many tiny field teeth. Oh, like, they're weeds?
Kind of, but, like, instead of, like, plowing for whatever they plow for, like, it's just tiny teeth.
Oh, that's a crop. They have a tiny teeth crop.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously. I'm sorry. Yeah, Lindsay. Gosh. Okay. Well, okay. So we've got our tiny field teeth. That feels pretty fucking weird. But then a local sheriff who was investigating the disappearance of the children was found dead. And he was found in a ditch. And there were forks in both his eyes. And his pockets were stuffed with candy.
Who would waste candy?
Or forks. so,
I mean, she could be dropping them off at kids' houses. Why would she stuff his pockets with candy?
Yeah. So years later, after all this happens, they don't catch anybody. Other children came forward and were like, oh, yeah, we also got candy. We just never went outside because we thought that was a bad idea. And it's unclear whether it's true that they never went outside to play to, like, see who have sent the note, or if they were just not taken, if you will, or if it didn't happen, you know? So quite reasonably, they're like, we think that Clara Crane is taking children. So they went and searched the Crane farm, and they didn't find anyone there, including Clara.
And no tiny field teeth on her property?
There was no tiny field teeth. So we had a lot of questions because we have so many facts and so many of these things are searchable and find outable. So we were like, let's see if we can separate fact from fiction in this legend, much like we did with our Bunny Man episode a long time ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to talk about some things.
We're going to question a few things.
Yeah. And we're going to start with the most important question.
Obviously. So was candy sold in wrappers in 1903?
The hard-hitting questions True Creeps is asking them.
Yeah, this is important because how is she leaving these notes? And also, I think of, like, a stupid, like, that shitty candy that people give out sometimes. I think of, like, a Tootsie Roll.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how tiny it is and her trying, like, to write this note, like, get outside.
And, like, in my head, she's got a quill. You know what I mean? And I'm like, isn't it smearing on the wax paper?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But my immediate thought was like, well, did candy wrappers exist then? Because I knew that the way that we have individually wrapped candy today is different,
wildly different
than it was once in time.
Mm-hmm. So obviously we looked into it. So we were looking at, yeah, the differences between candy back then and candy like today, right? As far as wrappers go. And in 1903, this is right around the time that manufacturers began to wrap candy in paper for sale. Prior to this, candy was bought in bulk. And it was packaged in glass containers, boxes, or wrapped in wax paper.
Interesting.
So again, like, hard to write on, but depending on what candy they were finding, I feel like I need more specifics. What kind of candy were you getting?
Yeah.
Was it melting in your windowsill? Okay, so we explored the idea of candy being in wrappers at this time. Now, let's explore if the asylum where she supposedly was kept, was that a real place? And the answer is yes. The hospital was opened in 1885 and followed the Kirkbride plan. We talked about this in our Appalachia episode, and historically mentally ill people were not treated in a manner that was humane, and patients were also kept in jails and almshouses. Sometimes they would be chained to walls, and it had long wings that were staggered, but they connected. And their formation allows for lots of sunlight and fresh air. So yeah, it was spaced out, people weren't piled on one another. The facilities also offered the ability for patients to engage in mentally and physically stimulating activities. And there are about 300 other facilities that were designed with the Kirkbride's theories. However, these buildings were expensive to maintain, and the idea of these buildings being more curative was discredited. Many of them were demolished or abandoned. And for this particular facility, when it was originally opened, it was expected to house 300 to 400 people. There were 330 patients admitted in the first year it was open. And in 1888, the hospital was renamed to North Texas Hospital for the Insane. The facility's name was changed to Terrell State Hospital in 1920.
Okay, so a real place.
Real place, but the time frame doesn't really match.
Yeah. Also, the fact that we had earlier was that Clara was released for overcrowding issues. And this would have been just 4 years after it was opened. And it did get bigger over time. That's all well and good. It's possible that there was lots of patients, but we were able to find a listing of all of the annual reports of when Clara would have been in the facility. We did not see any record of people having been released for overcrowding, although it was clearly a concern because there were more annexes built over the years. But there was such detailed records that it really, you would have been able to see it had there been an overcrowding issue, because in the annual report from each year, it would have like, oh, we need to build an annex for this particular purpose. Oh, we need to build a space for children who are born on the premises. Oh, we need this, we need that. So should there have been many people being released because of overcrowding, it would have been present. We also looked to see whether there was a record of Dr. Matthews, who was Clara's doctor per that letter to her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Several doctors and physicians were named throughout the historical website for the facility and in those annual reports. They even noted when they hired doctors. There's also photos, too, but no Dr. Matthews.
I'm shocked.
I know, right? So we were like, okay, Candy is in wrappers at this point. The hospital that she was in theoretically existed. No one was released for overcrowding, and there wasn't a Dr. Matthews, though. So we looked to see if we could find some other notable facts about the legend in publications from that time. And so generally, right, I feel like we could all assume that missing children, poison caramel, field teeth, stabbing people in the eyes, these would all be covered in a newspaper. They would be covered a lot in a newspaper if this was going on.
Yeah.
And there are many articles available on notable news stories from both Ellis and Kaufman County. Because again, it seems like the legend kind of conflates the two counties over time. So we looked in both just to be thorough. And we got a good cross-section of news reporting from the major newspapers at that time. So it would have been bizarre if we searched for these things and if it was just in one source, one place, right? Like it would have been published. Everybody would have been talking about the field teeth, right? Everybody. So let's walk through those questions that we looked for. Are there historical records about Clara's case or missing children? So either the murder of Leonard or missing children.
Mm-hmm.
When researching, we looked over newspaper articles from 1890 to 1915. So that we were like, maybe it was a little earlier or a little bit later. And we searched for Clara's name, Leonard's name, poisoned, caramels, poisoned candy. We even looked at murdered husband or poisoned husband. We didn't find anything. We also looked up missing kid, missing kids, missing child, missing children, missing girl, missing boy. And there were no relevant articles in either Ellis or Kaufman counties at that time.
Interesting. And you would think that that would have been talked about at least once.
Yes. And they talked about other missing children instances. So it's not as though that was just like something that wasn't covered at the time. There just wasn't any kids that were related to this story.
Yeah. Yeah. And now what about the court that we mentioned earlier? Haddock Street Courthouse in Ellis County. The Ellis County Courthouse is stunning, by the way, but not located on Haddock Street. The streets that are surrounding the courthouse, though, are Franklin, College, and South Rogers Street. We actually couldn't find a Haddock Street in Ellis County.
Interesting.
Now, things can be renamed, but you would think historically it would at least come up once.
And those are already kind of old-timey names, right? Like Franklin.
Mm-hmm. The old Kaufman County Courthouse is also gorgeous, but also does not appear to have been on Haddock Street either. So per the legend, Sheriff Fred Springer arrested Clara. Now, did he exist? The Ellis County Sheriff's Office has a list of sheriffs from 1851 onward.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's helpful for this, especially.
Mm-hmm. For legends, yes.
Yeah. But unfortunately, there is no sheriff with that last name of Springer that has worked in Ellis County.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I wouldn't say that that's a super uncommon last name either.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it not coming up at all is interesting.
Yeah. And we were like, Fred could be short for a different name. It could be a middle name. You never know why someone's first name might show a certain way, which is why we looked at any and all Springers.
Yeah.
And there were none.
Zero. Now, Kaufman doesn't have a list like this, but when we were searching generally, we could not find evidence of Sheriff Springer being there either. And another search that we did was a sheriff found dead in a ditch with his eyes having been stabbed and his pockets full of candy? Again, we searched Ellis and Kaufman records to determine whether there were any mentions of, you know, sheriffs being murdered, anyone's eyes being stabbed generally. And not surprisingly, we could not find evidence of any of that. We also looked at any articles of murders involving caramels. Surprise to everyone, that didn't come up either. Okay, but like, what about Leonard? Was he a real person? We searched genealogy records to determine whether we could find anyone matching this name and age in Texas. When researching genealogy, we searched multiple spellings of the last name Crane, too, because we know that can change over time as well.
Yeah.
Specifically, we looked at someone born between 1845 and 1865 named Leonard, who died in Texas between 1885 and 1905, but we couldn't find any matches. We also looked for records of Marcella. And again, we searched genealogy records from the late 1800s and couldn't find anything on Marcella, which again would have been kind of a common name, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But surely there should be some record of Clara Crane, right? Because there was that news article. Mm-hmm. That was real, right?
Yeah.
We looked for her. We looked for multiple spellings of Crane. Again, it came up with nothing.
Was Terrell, Texas a real place at that time even?
So that's a little tricky of a question, only because Terrell, Texas, from what Google has told me, was founded in 1873, but it began as a depot town along the Texas and Pacific Railroad Company's transcontinental line. So I assume that perhaps people lived there, but it didn't like officially get founded until 1873.
Interesting. Interesting. So we've got a lot of lore, a lot of facts, and a lot of things pointing to maybe this isn't so real.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about our thoughts on it in a moment. But before we do that, we're going to talk about some candy woman, candy lady media that exists. There is a movie coming out called Candy Lady. Right now, it's just a trailer. It looks interesting. They have like the urban legend on their site, too. I was very curious at first as to whether this was a Blair Witch situation where the lore was kind of embedded into stuff beforehand. But it seems like a lot of like the websites that were published came out years before this film was like even a thing. There's also a video game from Coven Games.
You know what's funny is I feel like I've seen gameplay of this.
Yeah, the game looks familiar. We'll include a link in our show notes. But per their website, evil toys are stalking you in an old black and white film. Witchkin is a first-person, single-player PC horror game where you play as a child trapped in a Texas farmhouse filled with terrifying toys in the 1920s. Your goal is to search all the levels of the house, from the basement to the attic, to find your missing sister and to stay alive. The game is based on the Texas legend of the Candy Lady. Now, first off, 10 out of 10. But let me just tell you about, she has her forever children and they are also hunting you. And I just need to tell you about these toys that are hunting you. The first one is Trappy. He appears to be a teddy bear with some sick mods. First off, he's got a bear trap on his head. He's got Wolverine style metal claws, and then he's got wheels instead of legs. He's coming at you.
It's like a Toy Story one, right? Like
that's Yeah, he absolutely does. Next, you got Hooks. He just looks like a DIY toy. Like he's like several things all together. His body is a bucket. His head is an indeterminate animal skull with a clown hat on top of it. His arms look like collapsible tubing that have hooks on the end. And then he has metal legs that look like they're probably from some type of tool, but I can't tell what that is. And then lastly, there's Marcy. And she's a doll with a fork for a hand and half of her hair cut off.
Yeah, she has. The other half is just like sticking straight up, though. You know, doll hair once it's cut.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that it has the story of Clara first, and then it talks about the myth of all the farmer kids being missing.
Yes.
And it looks like the premise, two siblings from a local farm went missing. This was unheard of in a safe enclave of their small community.
Mm-hmm.
So people assume the children were abducted by a drifter while at play. However, over the years, approximately 8 children disappeared, Out of fear, children in town told their parents about the candy that had been left on their sills from someone called the Candy Lady.
Fascinating. What a time. What a time.
They also say her name is invoked as the Boogie Woman, lures children to her home with candy, then they are never heard from again.
Boogie Man, a scary guy. Boogie Woman, a lady dancing. That's where my brain goes. She's boogieing.
Oh my gosh. It reminds me of the cryptid that's dancing.
Oh, yeah. Reminds me of Jeanette's cryptid.
Yes,
it does. That likes to give corn delicacies to people.
Yes, absolutely. Now, for the story, for such an infamous urban legend, there's surprisingly very little out there that doesn't appear to all be from the same source. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Many articles cite the dubious article that we mentioned earlier that Lindsay read. So we want to know, what do you think? Do you think anything of this is real? Do you think maybe their names were changed in the legend, perhaps?
Mm.
Do you think this happened? Maybe it happened somewhere else.
Maybe it did.
Sometimes that.
I don't think it did, though.
I don't think it did. I feel like it would have come up when we were like, you know, candy and missing children and stuff.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, facts change occasionally. Like, instead of it being candy left out there, maybe it was something else, you know, or.
Like what, though?
I don't know.
Bread?
Bread.
Mm-hmm. The bread lady just doesn't have the same ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think of like when we talked about, not that these are any more realistic, but when we talked about Christmas and where a lot of like the Christmas legends come from and like why they do certain things today, whereas like before they didn't do it that specific way. So maybe it's like a mix of a couple things together to make it scary.
Yeah, that's fair. There was so little on poison caramel specifically.
Yeah.
It just feels very strange. I don't think any of it's real. I think it's all fiction. It sounds like somebody told their kids a story.
I mean, all coming from the same article.
Yeah.
That doesn't look real.
Yeah. I think that it may have been a local legend that somebody eventually put on the internet, but I think that it probably boils down to like the don't take candy from strangers kind of lore. Mm-hmm. And it's more about that than it is about this. Or like, hey, like, don't go out after dark.
Yeah, and don't eat random candy you find.
Yeah.
That is a common thing that you have to teach your kids when they're little candy monsters.
To what?
Not eat candy that they find.
Oh, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. And that's the way to do it, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting.
Done. A plus.
Done and done.
Scare them.
Terrify them into not doing it. I mean, that's what Christmas is, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A police state.
A police state. Santa.
And his elves.
Anyways, we want to know what you think of this legend. Also, have you heard of any cool legends that you want to share with us? Any, like, especially localized, like, from where you are? There's a lot of those. When people be like, oh, do you know about this? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, I want to know your weirdly specific regional local lore.
Yes.
And regional, I even mean, like, your neighborhood lore.
Yes, yes.
Or, like, honestly, you know what I want? I want some spooky gossip, too.
Oh,
I'd like
sure.
some spooky gossip.
Yeah. So if you do have a story, whether it be about a weird local legend or anything spooky, send it our way for our listener episode that's coming out in October.
So it's first week of October. So it's coming up.
Mm-hmm. So head to our website. There's a place where you can submit your story and we would love to hear it.
And we'll have a special little sticker we send out to people who submit a story that you can only get the sticker if you do that.
Yes.
And it is quite cute.
It is. Also, if you love stickers and you have a second to leave us a review on any platform, we would love to send you a sticker as a thank you. Just screenshot your review, and it can be on many platforms too. So Apple Podcasts, Facebook lets you leave reviews, and Audible allows you to leave reviews. Please take a screenshot, send it to us. We'll send you a cute sticker as a thank you.
Yeah.
And with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening, and as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh.
Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you. If you were going to eat candy off of a windowsill and it wasn't individually wrapped, like, or it was like wrapped like in an old timey way, what would you be most tempted to eat?
Do I live here in hell where it would be like boiling?
No, you live in a place where any candy could exist on a windowsill, not in Arizona where it's like you either have a melted chocolate puddle or no chocolate, like chocolate's on the table.
Okay. I mean, I always love chocolate, but like, is it like 1903 candy or is it like candy today?
Both.
Both?
Let's give both answers. Yes. Like you could have a Reese's pumpkin. Like a Reese's pumpkin could be an option for you.
Absolutely. I will always choose a Reese's pumpkin or the caramel Reese's cup is also a favorite.
I haven't had that yet.
Life changing.
I do like the miniature dark Reese's cups. Those are good.
Okay. Just take the edge off.
You know I like the edges.
I'm looking at 1903 candy because I feel like all in my head thing I see is taffy.
All I'm thinking is like hard candy. It's like cinnamon. 1903 candy.
What is this thing? This thing looks cool. Valo milk candy cup. It looks like a old school Reese's. Valo milks. The gooey candy classic you didn't know you needed. Do I need this?
Why am I just getting like Candy Crush?
I don't know. What'd you write?
1903 candy? What'd you write?
I wrote candy in 1903.
Oh, okay. Candy in 1903.
Oh, they had Hershey's. Hershey's chocolate was there. That's cool. I'll do that. But yeah, it seems like there's a lot of taffy. There's caramels. Oh, I see these glass little containers that are cute. Actually, that's adorable. Like, think of like the old timey candy shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever this Valo milk thing, I'm still trying to figure out.
Oh, that looks
out.
Like it's marshmallow. It's a
marshmallow. Yeah, that's what I was thinking it was.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Hell yeah.
I see a thing of Werther's, which I always have nice cold Werther's in my fridge because I'm 9,000 years old.
Werther's. All right, grandma.
Black licorice duchies. Wrigley's nips.
Yeah, I want whatever this Valo milk thing is. Candy cup, which features creamy marshmallow center enrobed in chocolate.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I want things enrobed, but... Lifesavers were a thing then. Interesting. You know what really fucked me up? Amanda, look at me deep in my soul. Do you like Starbursts?
Sometimes.
They're taffy.
What? Really?
Think about it. What else would it be?
Yeah, I guess.
They're taffy.
I like the little itty bitty ones.
I fucking love those itty bitty ones. They're amazing. All it's like a problem
the
though.
Theater, and then I can get some from him.
They're my road trip snack.
Also, Valo milk were not made until 1931, so I don't know if that counts, but I want it.
No, it doesn't.
I don't want fucking taffy.
I like a peppermint. But like, let's say if there's nothing that you can think of from 1903, just hit me with like top two candies that you're going to like, you're going to risk the poison.
Oh, okay. Well, like I love chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's chocolate. So yeah, Hershey's was out then, it looks like. Yeah, Hershey's was introduced in 1900. So I would take a Hershey's bar.
I'm looking at a retro timeline. Did you know the first candy bar was invented in 1847?
Oh, like candy bar? Then what was Hershey's in 1900?
It was probably just like candy bar in that like it's a chocolate coating with things inside versus a Hershey bar, which is just chocolate in a bar form.
Yeah, I don't like things in my chocolate usually.
Bitch, you like Reese's.
I know, but like it's peanut butter. Same thing with like my ice cream. I don't want anything like crunchy or different.
You like flavored ice cream, not ice cream with like a textural element.
No, I like ribbons of like peanut butter or chocolate, but I don't want like to bite into something. Like I don't want like a chocolate chip or something like that.
I actively seek that out. It's another question for our list. Do you like crunchy bits in your ice cream?
No, ew. I don't like crunchy like candy bars or anything either.
Interesting.
Anything that can get stuck in my teeth, I generally do not like.
Conversation hearts were from 1902.
I hate those things. They're gross.
Okay. Anyway, though, what would 100% get me would be, are you ready for my bougie candy?
Oh, God. What?
A dark chocolate covered dried apricot. Like how I'm like, here's how to poison me effectively.
How specific.
I know, but it's good. And fibrous.
Okay, grandma.
I know. You know I'm 8,000 years old. Now I just want candy, though. That's not helpful for anyone.
I just want a Reese's. I want a pumpkin Reese's.
It's time.
It is time.
I was having like very bad allergies a few weeks ago, and I texted Ben, and I was like, I took two Benadryls. And then I said, goodbye.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Goodbye.
Oh, man, I die. I don't know if I wake up from two Benadryls.
It took a lot. It was a weekend, obviously. But I was like, I couldn't sleep. Yeah, I was unconscious. So I think what we've learned is that that means you took two Benadryl.
Yeah. Equivalent. I think so.
Yeah.
I had to give Potato, after his procedures, two Benadryls. That dog was out.
Yeah. Moo gets two Benadryls a day. So I also saw a woman on TikTok who was like, she had a handful of Benadryl and she had it in her hand and she was about to put it in like a pill organizer for her dog. And she had been eating like some type of candy that's in little pieces where, you know, you just kind of like put a handful in your mouth. She's like, I just ingested a handful of Benadryl. She's like, goodbye. Like, just like she probably had the best nap and woke up the most angry. Do you get angry when you take Benadryl?
I would wake up like 3 days later. I'm not good at napping. Like if I take a nap, I'm already angry.
Yeah, that's so fair.
Yeah. Like I'm just not a good napper. It's not for me. I wish I could be.
You're not a good sleeper, I think. I think you're just not a good sleeper generally. Yeah. I'm great at it. I'm super great at it. I excel at sleeping. But anyway, so I know, what a treat.
Also, just because we said dolls.
Mm-hmm.
From our doll chat episode, you know how many offers and weird stuff eBay has sent me about dolls now? Like it's ruined algorithm.
Oh, it's like, do you just want to bargain? Is it that like you don't want it or are you just cheap? That's what it's saying. eBay was like, are you trying to get it on a dollar what?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, you want this and like all these like random haunted objects. It's like, you may like. And I'm like, no, where's my old feed?
It's like, are you down to own a haunted object? Instead of like, just like a creep, like you down to fuck? No, it's, are you down to own a haunted object? That's the random messages you get now.
I'm going to start getting like text messages from eBay now.
Yeah. You up? Come buy this haunted doll.
Like the picture of that doll. Yeah.
Good morning. That one.
Yeah. Oh. Save it and text you that one morning.
Yeah. Good morning. So anyways, specific. Okay. I love it.
Dolls. That's all I think mm-hmm. of now. Okay.
Yeah. First name Basil. Last name Saurus. Basil. Saurus. Sorry.
Though I would be lying if I were to say that I have no trepidation about living once again in our house with Leonard. Fuck.
I was like, uh-oh.
You're back. It's that situation in Key West where she just like kept him in there.
Also, just as a note, it's going to make sense. When the movie The Titanic came out, did you see it in theaters?
No.
Okay. I saw it in theaters twice. Why? I don't know. I was a child. I was taken there.
Yeah.
But one of the times I went was with my grandfather on my mom's side. And there's that moment when the guy like falls and hits the propeller. My grandfather and I are hysterically laughing. But Jack falls into the water. If this is spoiling it for you, get the fuck over it. You know what I mean? Like it's been out for like 3 million years. But like, so Jack's dying and he like slips off is what I vaguely remember.
Yeah.
And my grandfather went, I'll be back, baby. I'll be a whale. And then he's going, oh, I'm making whale sounds. People are crying. And he's like, oh, whale sounds. It's amazing. My favorite memory of him.
Rightly so. I have found a candy drawer in Oliver's room full of wrappers and hidden candy that he has stolen to put in there.
Didn't he used to have a shame corner of the couch?
Yeah, he did.
Where he would hide snacks? But it's like, you have never shamed him for food or anything that. And like, so it's bizarre why he came up with this like little rat method of hiding his candy. Like, I say rat because a rat will like leave its like waste in its nest so that no one can find them. Yeah. So he's quite literally leaving it in his nest.
Oh, yeah. Like, another fun thing that Lindsay and her husband sent him when he got his braces off was this giant bucket of gum.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And guess what kind of wrappers I'm finding in there, too?
I mean, perfect. You're welcome.
He was so happy, though. He was.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he was like, his teeth were like free. So he's like, I can enjoy anything now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never had braces, so I don't know what that's like. But like, but I, you know.
He loves gum. And so he like his eyes like bugged out of his head when he saw how big the bucket of gum was.
I'm a chewy candy person, so I feel like I would be very sad if that was not the type of sweet I could enjoy.
That's fair.
The tiny field teeth are always going to get you.